This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by Rena Watts. Now, thanks for speaking with us this evening, Rena.
Well, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Great. So just to jump into it, just tell us a bit about yourself and why you decided to run for city council.
Well, my primary reason for running is because I've got a lot of experience in business and also on issues to do with the environment. And I have been longing for a voice at council that will really address important things like climate change. And it's never been done. It's the greatest, most important issue, environmental issue facing us. And I know if I get on city council, I can provide the kind of information that is lacking and maybe prompt some initiatives to put us on a new trajectory where, you know, we're going to open the door to, well, show leadership on climate change, because we can be part of the solution. Right now, we're not. Mm-hmm. So that's a couple of the main reasons that I'm running.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so what would you say, besides the climate change or the environmental factor, or Lethbridge's, say, 2 or 3 biggest issues right now, and what would you like to do about them if you were elected?
Well, I think what people are really concerned about is property taxes and business taxes. They keep going up and up. And, you know, people are needing to have a budget that they can depend on. Right now, we don't know next year if our property taxes are going to jump 5% or 10 or 20%. And with these major expenditures that they're doing, we need to know. And that's what I'm going to be really working on, is watching for wasteful spending, because there is a lot of it going on. I mean, we're just being bled from every, you know, from every corner. And every dollar means that, you know, we're further and further in debt. So right 4 years ago, we were, well, our debt ceiling was about $100 million. Well, it's doubled in 4 years. We're now at $200 million. Mm-hmm. Then you have to factor interest on top of that. We are in a lot of, we're carrying a lot of debt right now. And somebody has to pay for that debt, and it's taxpayers. So I'm going to be proposing things like zero-based budgeting. That is really important. A lot of progressive communities are starting to use that. A lot of people haven't heard about it, but it's a way to keep us fiscally responsible. It means for, you know, whatever amount you're spending, you try to find ways. Administration is put to the creative task of finding ways to save as much money as they are spending. And the other thing I really think would be important for taxpayers is tax disclosure. So what that means is, for every major expenditure, the administration informs, you know, our citizens how much their property taxes are going to be going up. Like everybody wants, well, not everybody, but a lot of people are calling for that third bridge. And boy, I would love to see it, primarily for safety reasons, but there is other ways to create safety without having a third bridge. Mm-hmm. But we need to know, if we're spending $200 or $300 million for that bridge, how much is that going to impact our taxes? Mm-hmm. Like, that's really important information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, I see on your website that there is a you call for the city to for a cost-saving expenditures to actually implement smaller buses, potentially, for moving around our citizens. do you think that there's other ways for our city to save money?
Well, going to smaller buses would be a very important way, because right now we've got these huge buses. I mean, they're beautiful, but they're running empty most of the time. And look at how much it's costing us for the bus itself, to house those large buses, for the maintenance of those large buses. And when they're not being used, this is very troublesome. We can go into smaller units. Let's be real about it. If buses are running mostly empty, you know, experiment. Throw ourselves into the experiment. Buy these mini buses. Try innovative ways to, you know, get people from point A to point B. And I'd also like to see our city work with developers and the transit so that we're not having to go further and further to pick people up. Like, urban sprawl is becoming a real problem here. So that's my take on, you know, the bus part of it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, so I think Ben has a question now about our performing arts center.
Before that, I just one of the main things that I've noticed about your specific campaign is that you call yourself an environmentalist, and there's other candidates who care about obviously green initiatives or keeping the city green. My question is, a lot of the campaign signs are corrugated plastic. It's not the most environmentally sound decision. Is there not a better option? Would there not have been a better option for campaign signs for an environmentalist to use in their campaign?
Well, I wish there was. Everything seems to be just metal and plastic. But the nice thing about plastic is it can be recycled as long as the bins where we're recycling are not contaminated. There are facilities that compress plastic and turn them into fence posts and decks, decking materials and like that. Yeah, it's unfortunate. Fossil fuel is very precious. I want to see as much of it kept in the ground as possible. But currently we are burning up this finite resource in our, you know, heating our homes and running ourselves around with these gasoline-powered vehicles. We could be doing a lot of that with renewable energy. Like here in Lethbridge, what we've been ignoring forever is this abundant resource we've got called sun and wind. I mean, we don't have nickel in the ground or copper or some metal, but we've got sun and wind. We could be part of the solution addressing climate change. And we should really be on top of it because we're living in a drought zone in a semi-arid part of the province where droughts are frequent and water is scarce. So we need to protect what water we've got, and we need to, diversify our economy with renewable energy. There's huge business potential there. I mean, when people think of Lethbridge, why they could be thinking of renewables, just like we could be the Silicon Valley of renewable energy.
Absolutely. Now, just to ask about the signs again. These are the same signs that you've used in previous campaigns, correct?
I recycled them. Yes.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. No, that's good. I just wanted to ask that because I have seen your signs up before, so I just wanted to clarify that point for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Now, keeping on the environmental side of things, this is a bit of a stretch for the environment, but here we go anyways. The federal government is moving towards the legalization of marijuana by July 1st, 2018, and the provincial government has just released a framework for legislation to purchase and use cannabis in Alberta. What kind of role do you see our city council taking with this marijuana legislation? Are there any endeavors you could see the city going into now that marijuana will be legal?
Well, I know it's going to be legal, but honestly, I am very concerned about it. I was never for it in the first place. I think we've got enough issues in our society with, you know, with alcohol and other types of drugs. But to introduce one and legalize it, you know, I've got concerns, but I don't have any solutions. I would defer that to people that really are into that area. You know, I don't even know if I know the police are trying to be on top of it. This is we're throwing ourselves into a major societal experiment, and we're only beginning to see some of the effects by token of what's going on in the U.S. But I don't have much to offer on that because other than voice my, I've got some concerns, you know, but no solutions at this point. I don't know enough about it.
Yeah, that is fair enough. Now, I only ask that in the environmental sense because some industries have been using the marijuana plant for renewable clothing, for using it for different, more green initiatives than, say, what our current synthetic, fabrics have been able to be used for, or being able to use it medicinally or anything like that. Do you think it would be worthwhile for the city to invest in areas such as that beyond just it as a recreational drug?
Well, if we're diversifying our economy, which we need to do, that could be part of diversification. I know the hemp industry has really taken off, and there's going to be a lot of residual, you know, byproducts from the marijuana grow-ups. So I'm sure they're talking and thinking about that already. I don't like to see waste on any front. Especially like plant material going into our landfill when it can actually be put to use, like you said, for clothing, for all kinds of useful byproducts. So I don't know if our city would be looking at that or Development Lethbridge, but I'm sure that's something that's on their radar, and I'm certainly interested in taking a look at that myself.
Absolutely. That's excellent.
Sticking with the drug issues, the reason we started these interviews was because of a conversation we were having with another candidate about the safe injection site being in Lethbridge. They were very opposed to it. What would your stance be on this site being built in Lethbridge?
I think there's already a site, you know, that's been targeted, and it's close to where that old London Drugs was over on the north side there.
Yeah, in the old Pulse
Olympia
building.
Yeah, next door to or close by Olympia Liquor, which just went in. Mm-hmm. That kind of seems a bit strange to me that they would, you know, want to put it right by a liquor store. But anyway, The injection site, apparently the hours go from like 9 to 5.
Well, that was just an estimate. That was never confirmed.
I think one of our other candidates did confirm that, did he not?
He said that that's what they said when they were first proposing the site. But that's not to say that that cannot be changed.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got concerns about all the, you know, the drug use that's taking place. I would really like to see our education system more involved. I think in that area it's underutilized. We could do more to inform kids right from the get-go. I mean, they jump on the conveyor belt in kindergarten, they get spat off in grade 12 or a little bit before or beyond. But they need to know how to take care of themselves mentally, physically, emotionally, so that they don't run up against walls where they're reaching out and looking for, you know, panaceas, drugs, alcohol, that kind of thing. You know, informing kids, educating them, bringing in homeless people to talk to the students, bringing in drug addicts to talk to the students. I mean, the last thing any parent or our society wants is to see our population suffering through homelessness, through drug addiction. So to give people information and inform them, and so they know when they hit a wall, and they know if they hit a wall, who to reach out to, so that their lives are successful. That's kind of, you know, I'd like that to be part of our program. Not just, you know, okay, now we've got a problem and here's injection sites. Well, maybe that gets people through their rough spots, but what about long-term? How do we nudge them back on track so that they become whole again and a vital part of our society instead of, you know, hurting themselves?
Well, the safe injection site, the proposition was for, obviously, for the exchange, needle exchange program, but part of it is an education program, a detox facility, which Arches already runs a needle exchange program and does hand out information that does encourage, obviously, getting clean. I mean, their main objective is to have as little drug use in the city as possible.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm so glad we've got that organization here. I mean, we each of us that are running, we're bringing some expertise. Well, hopefully not all of them are. Some are there hoping to learn as they go along. I know what I've got to offer, and it's action on climate change, renewable energy, and, you know, the stopping of this wasteful spending. Those are the areas that I'm going to be focusing on, and I defer to those that are more knowledgeable in other areas to bring forward the information for us to really consider.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So I will jump to an area then on fiscal responsibility, as that is a major part of your platform. Now, the capital investment project, the CIP, has set aside around $7 million for the design and planning phase for a performance art facility. So that takes us till 2021 when construction is to begin. However, in 2021, the Municipality Sustainability Initiative, which is a grant that the province gives to cities, and we got about $21 million for our CIP this year from that program. But in 2021, it's set to expire, and there's not really a known replacement for this grant process through the province. I'm just curious what your thoughts are on moving forward with programs like a performing arts center or a convention center or anything like that, if this funding might not be as readily available as we think it is. And then just kind of to add on to that, where do you think funding for these projects could come from should the city decide to move forward with them?
Well, what we do when we're on council is we bring forward a vision that is, you know, supported by the community. And it is up to administration to find a way to execute that vision. So really, the onus is on them because that is what they're getting paid for. And I don't think enough of that is recognized. If the funding is going to be expired, then we need to be flexible. And maybe what we should be looking at is having that performing arts center as part of the convention center. I know a lot of people, I don't know how many, but are objecting to that. But at the same time, I think we have to recognize we have been spending, and we want all these things, but we still want our taxes to be manageable. I don't know what our taxes are going to be like, when we built that convention center, when we built that performing arts center, I mean, we just built the leisure center, and I've asked a few counselors, well, how much is that costing us? Nobody knows. Is it $150 million, $200 million? It's a lot of money, whatever it is. But I want to know, and that's why I'm proposing this tax disclosure. That is really important for us to know. Here is how much we, you know, this facility is going to cost, and then we have to factor in, oh, you know, costs have gone up. Oh, labor has gone up. They never seem to stay on budget. I mean, I've had a house building company years ago. I've been in contracting. I'm a tradesperson. I've had a business all my life. When I give an estimate to a client, I have to stand by that estimate. But when it comes to commercial, it seems they're all over the map. And things just spiral out of control. We need to rein that in so that doesn't happen. And I think tax disclosure would be very helpful to people so they know that, okay, without that funding, because it's expired, this is how much your taxes are going to go up. Right now, we don't have a clue.
Yeah, that is totally fair. I know I think a lot of people in Lethbridge would agree with you on that, where it is very important to see the effects of a program on your personal livelihood. Philosophically, do you think that it is a project that Lethbridge should go forward with?
Performing arts?
Yes.
Yeah, I do. I mean, arts add so much sparkle to a city. I love the arts. I mean, I had a membership at CASA Studio for 3 years. I've got my own studio now. But, you know, it's the only thing with CASA, of course, I've objected to since day one is that it's not clad in solar panels. It's not on geothermal system, feed-in tariff. I wanted cutting edge, you know, so it would showcase for our citizens what we're about, that we're environmentally, you know, on top of things. But other than that, I mean, I'm glad we've got the CASA. I'm looking forward for us to have the performing arts and for the Yates to get renovated.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, that does bring us to the end of our time. If you have any closing remarks really quickly, now would be a good time for those.
Well, just so people know that I am informed on many fronts. I devoted 27 years of my life to helping establish the Lethbridge Astronomy Center and Old Man River Observatory because education is really dear to my heart and inspiring our youth to go into higher levels of education. So that's been an integral part of my life. I've been an environmentalist, got GreenSense off the ground. I'm currently the chair of GreenSense. It's a group that promotes renewable energy. I helped initiate the first petition to stop Golden Key Oil from fracking in Lethbridge. And I helped initiate the Old Man River Water Tribute, where all the politicians in our city and beyond, you know, we had the NDP, the Liberals, all that. We met at the banks of the Old Man River. And it was all about talking about the preciousness of our water, of the Old Man River. So I've done many things. I have got information, so I'm not a newbie, and I've got a proven track record. So I hope people will put their trust in me and vote Rena Wass.
Excellent.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us this evening, and best of luck come October 16th.
Thank you, both of you, for the interview.
Have a great
Thanksgiving long weekend.
Thanks, you as well.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye. Well, Rena Wass bringing a different perspective to the political sphere here with her fiscal and environmentally friendly platform.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Does she have solar panels on her house? I should have asked.
Oh, you should have.
I should have.
I don't know. You know, with the rebates that the provincial government are putting out right now, I'm not sure how far that would extend to municipalities, but I think it would be definitely something interesting for the city to consider while building future endeavors.
Mm-hmm. I think the thing with environmentally friendly practices, especially for cities, there has to be some sort of balance between the cost of them and the taxes that they, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, like, what's it going to save? I know that sounds kind of wonky, but like, if it's a small building, are we going to ask the city to now include, and it's going to use a small amount of electricity or small amount of heating throughout the year. Are we going to ask the city to put forward, say, an extra $100,000 for this building to make it environmentally sustainable?
Yeah.
Or is there a threshold for environmentally sustainable projects?
Yeah. And I would have to, I would say yes to that.
Yeah. So it's just interesting. And I wish I would have asked her what that threshold would have been. But
the other thing is, she's the perfect example of why we need to do our own research into projects, because she took someone's word for the hours of the safe injection site and took that as truth. And it was not at all truth. It was just an estimate that they gave when they first proposed this project.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think research is a very important step, whether you're on the ballot or putting an X on the ballot. So,
yes,
I think for everyone, get out there, do your research. We're only one source. Obviously, we have our little agenda. So, I mean, get out there, see what information's out there, and make up your own choice.
Yeah.
So,
and keep buying Twizzlers.
Keep buying Twizzlers.
Yeah, they're good.
Twizzlers are delicious.
Yummy.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Sightline.
Thank you for listening to Sightline's special electoral report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.